Judge Philip Pallenberg enters the courtroom lugging a stack of files and documents easily a foot high. He's about to get handed a few more accordion folders that will extend that by several more inches.
And I think the state fired the opening salvo in this naval battle, so I think the state should go first.
Last Friday's skirmish in Juneau Superior Court was over the engines installed in the state's fast ferries Fairweather and Chenega, relatively new ships with diesel-powered jet drives that push the catamarans at a nice 32-knot clip. That's about twice the speed of the ferry system's standard monohulls. State Attorney Dana Burke is leading the attack for the ferry system, but with too much wind in his sails, he runs out of time to carefully fire off excerpts of contract documents and internal memos. Burke says manufacturers of the fast ferries breached warranties that called for repairs and, if necessary, replacement of the engines. And for both ships, all eight engines have been valued at a total of $20 million.
And we cannot wait. The Fairweather and the Chenega, because of the failed repair efforts and because of the loss of engine life, are in serious danger of being decertified for use in the state's passenger transportation system in the very near future.
Burke wants the ship and engine builder's liability extended to the engine's defects, especially when they admitted to using the wrong kind of coolant.
In May 2005, MTU instructed the state to stop using the particular brand of coolant, PowerCool 3000, because of MTU's concern that it might degrade a layer of molybdenum, thank you, on the inside of the crankcase cylinder bores.
David McMahon, representing the ferry builder Robert Director Incorporated, says the state's aim is way wide. They're not entitled to any more rights after expiration of a standard warranty.
From everything that we're aware of, these two vessels have operated on a virtually uninterrupted basis since they went into operation. And from everything that we're aware of, MTU has provided prompt support for necessary repairs upon request by the state.
But Director Shipyard is only the vanguard of the opposing fleet. The state's real target is MTU Friedrichshafen and MTU Detroit Diesel, the German company that built the engines and the American company that's been doing the subsequent repairs.
We've introduced evidence that we have, in fact, a solution. And that's that this ring that we've been talking about, the interstitial ring.
John Dawson has already mustered his crews to load and prepare their guns, and he's been patiently waiting for the attackers to come within range.
Scaremongering and hyperbole aside, the principal issue in this case involves only one component of these engines, the engine block.
Dawson says it's unclear what really caused the faster-than-expected deterioration. Instead of the coolant, maybe it was the Alaska environment, improper maintenance by ferry crews, even excessive vibration caused by a misaligned installation in the shipyard.
These are extraordinarily complex engines. These blocks are extraordinarily complex, and the physics and the engineering involved, extraordinarily complex. You can't wave a wand and resolve this wear issue when you don't even necessarily know what's causing it.
Dawson also says their engine warranty was initially given to Director, the general contractor, not the final buyer of the vessels, or in this case, the state ferry system. And it did not include replacement of the entire engine beyond the engine block.
The state can't simply say, we're not going to let you do what you need to do to fix the engines, but that's what they want. They want to prevent us from fixing the engines. They want to prevent us from putting in a solution that is economical, instead get new engines. That's not the law. And it's not what the contract provides for.
But as in any courtroom battle, the attacking forces always get off the last shot. Burke swings around to come abeam for one last set of broadsides.
I need this court to say whether it's engines or cylinder blocks or whatever, look, something's wrong with these engines. These engines, they were lemons. They were defective for whatever reason. We can litigate tomorrow and next year about whether the molybdenum was the primary cause or the secondary cause or whether there have been other causes. We can have a trial about that. We need to get past square one, which is these were defective upon delivery and someone is responsible.
Last Friday's hour and 20-minute engagement focused not on any factual disputes, but primarily arcane and esoteric interpretations of liability and warranty law. Because of the fog of battle, it'll be a while before Judge Pallenberg tallies up any casualties.
All right, then we'll go off the record. Thank you, counsel, for the arguments. They've been helpful. There's a lot to digest here, so I wouldn't be checking the mail tomorrow for a decision.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And it'll be some time before it's known whether the ferry system gets any satisfaction with last Friday's action, and if the campaign continues to next September with the courtroom equivalent of Battle of Trafalgar. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.